Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Any gardeners out there? Any gardeners? A couple of gardeners out there. How about farmers or people that grew up with farms? Anybody? A couple of you. Well, then you're familiar, hopefully, with seeds and with soil. Seeds and soil. And you know that in order to have good growth, you need good seeds and good soil. It's a very important combination. As one who worked at a garden center for a couple of years, I'd have people come in and they'd have various plant issues. And one of the plant issues that people would have involved the soil that they would have. I grew up in my hometown with clay, kind of dense clay, and the soil was a little too alkaline. For those that you know that I'm talking about, the plants didn't grow very well. Jesus gives a parable about seeds and soil and about growth. The question for us today as we hear this parable is, how might this apply to our lives? How might the Word of God impact us today in this particular parable? So Jesus, imagine Jesus giving this parable, and he's there by the Sea of Galilee. And if you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee or seen pictures, you know that it's a place where there's hills around, and it's a very fertile place. It's a very good place for agriculture. And picture Jesus there, and he's on the shore of the Sea of Galilee with all these people gathering around, wondering what he's going to say. And then he begins speaking. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 says, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables." Now, first of all, we might ask the question, what's a parable? Some of you might remember the word parable from Sunday school. A parable, as some have said, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus is using things such as soil and seeds to talk about the kingdom of heaven. And what, pray tell, is the kingdom of heaven? Well, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about our God at work, as he is at work in the world through the word which does not return void. And so as the word spreads, as God is at work, things happen. The word goes out and people hear the gospel, the good news, lives and hearts are changed. So he's speaking a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning about the kingdom of God, and he's talking about the word, and he uses the picture of a sower. Not one who's stitching up fabric, but the one who casts out seed. As he says in Matthew 13:3, a sower went out to sow. Now, some of you have reseeded your lawns before, and perhaps you've seen the seed spreaders, the little hoppers, where you turn the hopper and the seeds go everywhere. Well, back in Jesus' day, they didn't have those cool little gadgets, and you'd have a man with a pouch, a big old pouch with seed in the pouch. And he would take his hand and he would grab seed from the pouch and begin flinging it to the right, flinging it to the left, flinging it all over. And you can just picture the seeds bouncing off the places where he's throwing it, and he's throwing it all over in various places. Now, in those days, you would have fields, and on the edge of the fields, you might have hardened pathways that were cast down. And as you know, when you're dealing with your yard, there are certain parts of your yard which are nice and fertile and good for growing, and there's other parts which aren't so much. So you can picture this in your mind. A sower is going out to sow in this field, and there's different types of terrain. Matthew 13:4, Jesus says, "And he sowed. Some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them." So you can picture that in your mind. At the edge of the field, there's a pathway that gets tamped down from use, and it's a pathway. And you can picture the seeds as they're bouncing off the pathway. They don't go anywhere. And what happens is they just sit there. And those of you that like to feed birds, you know what happens when you put seed out for birds. They start gathering around, and pretty soon, all your seeds are gone. If you're not trying to feed the birds and you're trying to plant things instead, that's really annoying. But that's the picture that we see. That some seeds fall along the path and they just sit there because the ground is hard. And eventually the seeds are snatched up. So what is this parable about? The nice thing about this particular parable is Jesus actually gives the meaning of this parable for us. And so I'm going to let Jesus talk and give that to you. And he says in Matthew chapter 13:19, When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Now, one thing that you don't see in your Bible reading for today is the middle section of this reading. If you followed along on the back of your bulletin, you'll notice that there's a section of reading that stops at about verse 8, and then it picks up in verse 18. Now, in between that section, Jesus is talking about why he's speaking in parables, and he gives this explanation to the disciples. And the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." And then later on, he speaks of a prophecy in Isaiah that talks about this. He says, "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.'" So Jesus speaks of the hardness of heart. He speaks about people that are hearing the word of God, but they don't do anything with it. Like packed down soil, it doesn't penetrate. And instead, it is snatched away by a bunch of birds. And that can certainly happen as God's word goes out. It's spread in different places, but there may be a hardened heart that hears God's word, but it doesn't do anything. But rather, it is rejected. And there are people today where that is the case. God's word is heard, and the lies of evolution and the lies that there is no God are in their hearts, and the thought of God is just repulsive and it just bounces right off. Or there are people that are offended by this word that makes such an exclusive claim of Jesus, and it bounces off. It is not received. And I think there are times in our own lives when we are confronted with God's word, and we don't want to hear it. We want to continue doing what we want to do, and instead of hearing God's word, it just sort of doesn't have any effect on us. So this can certainly happen in our day and age, where the word of God goes out and it hits upon hardened soil, and hearts are hardened. And we see that in the Old Testament, where it says that this person's heart was hardened, and that becomes the mystery as to why that is. And yet, after a while, if someone hears the word and keeps rejecting, finally God says, "Okay, you've rejected my word. See you around." It's pretty sobering. But there are more soils that this parable talks about. So first of all, we have that soil upon the path that is swept away by birds. Then we also have the shallow soil. Matthew 13, the parable continues, "Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away." Now, those of you that have planted things know that you need to have enough soil for the roots to go down. If you don't have enough soil, the roots can't go down, your plant can't grow. The garden center where we worked, we would sell those six-pack containers. Now, I'm sure you've probably bought them. You buy your six-packs of marigolds or name any other flower. Those took constant care, because if you didn't care for them, they would quickly dry out on the tables. Why? Because their roots were so tiny and there was such shallow soil in those little containers. So you know, you've sat out your six packs saying, "I'll plant those tomorrow." And you come back the next day and your plants are all just droopy and you have to throw them out because they're no good. Well, you can picture the seed landing in shallow soil where it begins to sprout and things look happy for a while, but eventually the soil is so shallow that the roots can't form, the sun comes up, the plant is scorched. It's kind of a vivid picture. So what, pray tell, is this about? Well, again, Jesus says, Matthew 13, verse 20, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Have you ever started a project and were really excited about it? Oh, I'm sure we've started our project. Maybe it's a sewing project. Maybe it's a project of some kind of thing for the yard for your kids, fill in the blank with any kind of project, and you're excited, and you go out and you get the supplies and the fabrics, etc., and you start out and yay, but then all of a sudden you run into a snag. Maybe you're in the middle of a knitting project and you look and you see that you missed some stitches, and that's way long time ago, and you look at the project and you go, oh no, 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 and you don't want to have to pull out your stitches again. You start out excited with a particular project, but pretty soon you get frustrated when trials and tribulations come, and then you say, forget it, forget about it, I'm going to go and I'm going to do something else. Have you ever been there? I think we have at some point or another. I think this can happen when we're Christians. You can picture a new Christian who's all excited about Jesus and is so happy, but then all of a sudden, bam, something hits and it's not so exciting anymore. Maybe a tragedy, a tribulation comes along, a family member is struggling with an illness, or you yourself are going through something. Maybe your friends start ridiculing you because you're one of those Jesus people. And pretty soon the enthusiasm, the excitement wanes, and there can be that temptation to just sort of say, forget about it. I'm not going to show up to church anymore. I'm just going to go do my thing, just go back to the way things were. And like a young plant that has shallow roots, the plant begins to wither and fall away. And maybe you've come across individuals, and I know I have, individuals who grew up in the church. They went to church and they talked to me and said, yeah, I used to go to church back as a kid, but they're no longer in church. There are different reasons why that might be, but perhaps sometimes they were all excited, but they ran into some kind of tragedy, tribulation, or trial, and they said, you know what, I'm done. This isn't for me. And then they fall away. So we have the seed that falls along the path and gets eaten up. We have the shallow soil of the plant that withers. And then we have another one that I think is especially dangerous for Christians. Listen to this one. Jesus says in Matthew 13:7, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Those of you that are gardeners, and you don't have to be a gardener to know about weeds and how annoying they are. Especially when you're trying to grow a garden, whether it's flowers or vegetables, when you have weeds, they're a pain in the bottom. Because what happens is the weeds will come up and they grow so fast. Wouldn't it be great to have plants that grew as fast as weeds? Oh my goodness, it's like weeds are super plants. And they just take off and they grow, and pretty soon they put their big shoots up and they're blocking the light for your beautiful flowers or your vegetables. They put their silly roots down and they start taking over the roots for your plants. And pretty soon you find your little anemic plant sitting there among these big weeds, and you find yourself really annoyed. It's frustrating. But you can picture this in your mind. These seeds that were thrown out, and there's these weeds that go whoop all around them, and they can't get enough light. They can't get enough sustenance. They can't get the sustenance from the roots or from the sun. And what do they do? They just sit there. They just exist. They might be alive, but they ain't doing much, and they're not very good. They're not useful at all. Jesus says in Matthew 13:22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. It can happen in our lives when we start focusing on the worries around us, that our attention is taken away from the study of God's word, from the good, wonderful promises of God, from the gospel message of our Savior, onto the worries of this life. How to make ends meet. Worrying about that new relationship. Worrying about our career, about our kids. And while certain things are important, they can begin taking over to the point where the Word of God and the study of His Word is neglected. And we're so focused on all these other things that we don't have time for the Word and we miss out on hearing the promises of God because we skip church again because we've got too much on our plate. It can happen. Other things in this life can take over the flower beds of our life, and pretty soon the weeds of those other things take over and the seed of God's Word is just sitting there. And then we find ourselves as unfruitful Christians. Yeah, you're alive. You know the Lord. But there's not a lot of fruit. There's not a lot of things being accomplished for the sake of the kingdom. And I think that is especially dangerous for us as believers. Pretty soon we have Christians who don't know their scriptures. We have Christians who are just sort of existing. So these are the three soils so far. The seed upon the path, the seed that has been in rocky ground, the seed that is among weeds. And then there is a fourth soil. The fourth soil is the good soil that is deep and fertile and ready for the Word. Jesus says in Matthew 13:8, "Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Jesus explains what this parable is about, and as he says in Matthew 13:23, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the Word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. My dad has a cousin, Cousin Kevin, who lives over in Michigan. And Cousin Kevin has a bunch of farmland. And Cousin Kevin grows things like soybeans and corn. And I got to ride on his big tractor. It was pretty cool. Cousin Kevin knows a lot about farming. And he was telling me one time about the amazing amount that seeds can produce. And he said, yeah, you know, with a good crop, a single kernel of corn can eventually produce up to 600 seeds. One single kernel of corn can end up producing 600 seeds. That's pretty amazing. So in the parable, it talks about in the good soil that there's fruitfulness, and this happens in the good soil. Now, how does this good soil happen? Because I know myself, and you know yourself. I screw up. I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And so have you. So how is this good soil made good? It's made good by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for you on the cross, the one who took your sins away, took the wrath and the punishment that you deserved upon himself and gave you instead righteousness and goodness, not your own, but Jesus's. As it says in the explanation to the third article of the Creed, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. You see, it's God's word working in your heart and my heart that produces the good by faith in Jesus Christ. And so as there is faith in Jesus Christ, this is the gift of God, there is fruit that happens, the fruit of faith, the faith that clings to the promises of God, the faith that clings to Jesus, the faith that then by the Holy Spirit produces fruit. As Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A crop is yielded in your life by the Holy Spirit in service to others, and it produces fruit. And I'm thankful for that which God is doing in your life and in your hearts, the fruit that is happening in this congregation. It's amazing. It was so neat to see everybody, a lot of us gathered yesterday in different shifts, helping to serve at the garage sale. In different ways, lifting things into vehicles and moving things around, meeting with people in our community, a chance to connect with people, some who don't know Jesus. And how neat it is to see the body of Christ working together, producing fruit in different places, in different areas, many times in ways that none of us, the others of us, get to see. You all have different projects that you're working on, and we may never know how the Lord is using you in the area where God has placed you, in the vocation where God has put you. And I thank God that He is at work, that the Word is at work, that it's doing something. And we, as God's people, have the opportunity to come together and to hear His Word, to receive that seed with joy and thankfulness, and to let the seed work in our hearts and our lives. The prayer for the day, as you may have noticed, what we call the collect, said these wonderful words, a wonderful prayer. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, so that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. We get to digest God's Word. In Sunday school this morning, in Bible study from 1 Peter, we talked about the importance of receiving the Word like infants, desperately wanting milk. And we have that privilege of coming and hearing God's Word, the seed which works in our lives, and to receive it with joy and thanksgiving. So I encourage you, if maybe the habit of reading God's Word has slipped by the wayside, you have the opportunity to hear God's Word on a daily basis. You have the opportunity to come together with other Christians in Bible studies, to study God's Word together, to grow together. Come, join in if you haven't already. Eat up on God's Word, for it is an amazing thing which gives us the promises of God, and it also prepares us by the Holy Spirit to produce fruit. The beauty of God's Word, the seed, is it is perfect, wonderful. It does not return void. The beauty of God's Word is that it will continue to spread despite all the struggles, all the trials, all the things that go on in this life. Despite the fact that people would try to stamp out God's Word, the seed of God's Word will continue to be spread. And we have an amazing, generous God who allows His Word to be spread all over, even in places where you think it would never do anything. God, are you crazy having your Word go this way and that way like a crazy sower throwing seed everywhere? But our God is generous. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the message of Jesus Christ and the salvation. And so, who knows how God will use you this week to help spread the seed. And you may think that a conversation that you had about Jesus did absolutely nothing. Well, guess what? Thankfully, the growth of God's Word isn't up to you. We just get to spread God's Word and watch as God makes His Word grow. And as Isaiah 55 says this, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." God's people, God's word works. Let us trust that and watch and see what our God will do as His word continues to spread. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.